Skip and I met in the morning, he mentioned that he's writing a book and it relates to doing versus being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tried to shed some light on it today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we briefly had a discussion recently about measuring, how meditation means measuring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to shed some light on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are we measuring?
Mm-hmm. So,
but letting go, surrendering, how to do that not in thought, but in consciousness. And that's the whole idea of this practice, is how relinquishment or letting go or surrendering arises out of the clear comprehension of nature of things. See? It's not like, I'm going to let go. That's at an intellectual level. It has some power, but it really doesn't work effectively if you do not understand what leads to letting go. Relinquishment doesn't happen just by thinking about it. First and foremost is to clearly, experientially comprehend. And I said clear comprehension, not just comprehension. Experientially, feeling and at the level of consciousness that yes, indeed, this thing, this breath is impermanent nature. Comprehending it. And then moving deeper, then realizing that, hey, this breath is impermanent. It fades away, fades away. Because impermanent could be eternal, right? The arising and ceasing could happen eternally.
Mm-hmm.
So relinquishment may not happen if you do not comprehend the subtlety of it. So you have to focus on the fading away of it. To cultivate the understanding of the fading away of the breath, the exhalation of the breath. Even that is not enough. The ancient masters realized that, oh, even though I'm so established in this fading away nature, I'm still clinging to it. There's still this attachment somewhere. And so they started focusing on the cessation of it. Just as breath, you can look at anything, whether it is on your emotion, your feeling, and on an object, anything. Breath, we are talking about breath because today we use that as an object of our meditation. So impermanence studying is not enough. Fading away, constantly. Then cessation. And the greatest of the great sages realized that even cessation, clearly comprehending, establishing yourself in that, even cessation is not enough. There is still some clinging.
It's the anticipation of the next breath.
Possibly. And so, constantly focusing on cessation. And the funny thing is, you cannot actively practice relinquishment or letting go or surrender. What happens is you continue focusing on cessation and the relinquishment will arise. So let's say there is an emotion that you're experiencing, anger for example.
That's my favorite.
Mine too.
This is one of the toughest ones. Right next to it, self-pity.
Yeah, any emotion. So if you say, well, I'm going to relinquish this anger, sorry, it's not going to happen. But if you focus on its cessation, okay, this anger has arisen, okay? Now let me see how it fades away. Now let's see how it ceases. Then constantly focusing on its cessation during each episode of anger. Each episode that you have of anger. Cessation. After several episodes, you experience cessation and you comprehend it and you cultivate it in your consciousness. You establish yourself in that understanding. Oh, that anger episode, it ceased. That anger episode, it ceased. Sooner or later, the anger will be relinquished.
Mm-hmm.
after this practice of comprehending, a time will come when as soon as the anger arises, it will relinquish by itself. Because you are established in its understanding of its nature, you see. You don't have to do anything. And that's where that beingness comes. You're not doing anything. You're simply remaining aware of the nature of things. You're simply realizing the way the laws of nature function. The way the mind functions, the way the consciousness functions. That's all. And then the thing happens on its own.
At first I thought surrender meant just kind of letting go and going with the flow. But there's also a sense of participation in that. In terms of once you're moving with that flow, you're also guiding and taking responsibility so that you're not banging at the rocks you see are coming. So it's kind of an active thing.
Provided that active parameter is the comprehension part.
Yeah.
It's not like I am surrendering to some higher entity,
yeah,
or I'm surrendering to conditions. Yeah. No. Surrender is an epiphenomenon,
yeah,
which arises because you understand something.
Yeah. Right? In terms of the active thing and awareness thing for me, it's like I'm surrendering but in the flow down the river, but I see the rock coming and I have to be aware and conscious and deal with that to be active, to be there and to engage.
Right. Again, that engagement is the comprehension part.
Same.
Understand. The engagement thing,
okay, yeah,
is the
absolutely
comprehension part,
absolutely,
the understanding part. Let the surrender arise, let letting go arise. And this is the final stage, really, of perfecting your practice of letting go. The final stage is what we did today, is to let it happen through comprehension. Understand. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like perfecting a certain quality. What do? The perfection arises only through understanding something thoroughly. Yeah.
So comprehension and understanding.
Well, comprehension is a prerequisite to understanding. Actually, this is how it works. Bear attention. And this is how actual meditation also flows, if you notice. From bare attention comes mindfulness. From mindfulness comes clear comprehension. From clear comprehension comes awakening. From awakening comes understanding. Or you can say enlightenment. Understanding and enlightenment are synonyms.
So in comprehension, there is still a comprehender?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the residual.
From our discussion last week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there's still some sense of doing.
There is, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
we spend a lot of time doing.
Yes. In comprehension, the thinking, you see, bear attention to mindfulness, to clear comprehension, to awakening, to understanding, right? Mm-hmm. You see what happens to thinking. In bear attention, thinking is, let's say, 90%. Mindfulness is significantly down. Comprehension is further down. Awakening is almost nil. And in understanding, there's no thinking. Because you understand, right? What you have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You're enlightened about something.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, so
enlightenment is the final relinquishment from the sense of I.
Exactly.
Or doing.
Right. Impersonality.
Impersonality.
But it is rooted, it is underlain by the comprehension of impermanence. So if you just use your intellect and constantly try to teach yourself, I do not exist, I do not exist, there is no doer, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It has to be underlain by experiential understanding of impermanence. You know? This breath is coming and going. If it was mine, I would have had control over it. I would have had unchallengeable control over it. It's coming and going, coming and going. Same thing with your feeling. When you're happy, if it is you who are happy, then you should be able to hold on to that happiness for as long as you want. But it comes and goes. Same thing with sadness. Is it your sadness? Is it your failure? If it was really your failure, your, then you should have had unchallengeable control over it. But guess what? Failure comes and goes. You have success in your, you know? Everything, any emotion you see, you know, you cannot hold on to it. It comes and goes. Constantly cultivating that understanding. Hey, things are impermanent. What does that mean?
Comes and goes.
Yeah, they are driven by conditionality, conditions. And there is no owner of it, per se, you see. That's the beauty of underpinning everything with the experiential understanding of impermanence.
I think the existentialists talk about things rise in the universe and hit a peak and then decline in the universe. Mm-hmm. And so as you and Don were talking about the Tao, I was thinking resistance rises, and we can watch our resistance to the Tao.
Sure.
For example.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and so it arises, it falls, and then it's no longer, and we can make that observation.
Right.
And so from comprehending the end of resistance, then we can move forward, not move forward, but we can be.
Relinquish. Yeah. That's beautiful. I like the usage of the word resistance in the context of the whole comprehension part. We are actually, in a way, resisting nature a lot, you know, if you notice subtly. You know.
The most
we don't go with the flow. Yeah. That's why it's suffering.
The most striking thing for me has been kind of as the sense of most of humanity doesn't have even a sense of being a part of the universe. They see me, everything out here. They don't feel that interconnection to it. I just think about when I was young, dark night, I used to work in a drive-in theater. It was very interesting business, by the way, but I'd be staring at the sky, and the northern lights would be out, and that, you know, that deep sense of interconnection. But I don't think my kids have that, and it's just a rare connection. We are totally interlocked with the universe.
We are the universe. Many people talk about, I have to do the practice, you know, doing, right? If you just think for a moment that it's the universe that is doing practice through you, suddenly the tension goes away, you know? And also what is it called, the meditator's ego?
Say again?
The meditator's ego?
I haven't heard that.
Meditators have a lot of ego.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yes.
And so how to avoid that pitfall is to realize that the universe is meditating through you and me. And these are not just words. This is reality. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what is happening. Is that we are here. It's as if the universe is evolving through us, through this event, you know.
Oh, the universe trying to know itself through us?
That's it, bottom line. Mm-hmm. That's evolution. The definition of evolution is this universe is trying to enlighten itself through you and us. And that's why the ancient masters say that there is no such thing as enlightened being.
What would they say? If there's no such thing as enlightened being, but is there a sense, would they say that it's an enlightened part of the universe, or how would they describe enlightenment?
There is no such thing as enlightened beings. There is only enlightenment. You see? It's an oxymoron, right? Enlightened being. The whole thing about enlightenment is to remove the personality. So how can a person be enlightened?
Sure.
When the whole thing about enlightenment is no person, right? You got the point, right? So there's no such thing as enlightened being.
And that part I connect to, but the sense of the universe trying to know itself and have enlightenment, and then I get that the non-personality stuff, but is it that a tiny portion of the universe has awakened, or through this one individual, through this one non-self? Am I making any sense?
It's
a little recursive here, isn't it?
Great question. Imagine the universe as a fabric of knots, tied knots.
Okay.
Like fabrics. Okay. So what is happening? The knots are slowly being unknotted.
Okay.
So we can, for understanding purposes, you can consider each of us as one teeny tiny knot in the fabric of the universe. And so Dawn, in a conventional sense, if I say Dawn is enlightened, basically what that means is that knot is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is unknotted to that extent. And then slowly the whole fabric is unknotted.
And the metaphor of the knot, or the, you know, what that is that the part of the universe that thinks it's a self?
Right, ignorance. Every single knot is ignorance.
Or
ego.
Yeah.
A sense of separation from the universe.
That makes sense.
Right. That's Big Bang, right?
Oh, yeah.
The moment the universe forgot its nature, the creation started. If you really want to go esoteric.
Sure.
The moment the universe forgot its own nature, creation started.
Esoteric is, why did the universe forget?
Actually, what it is absolute stillness.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Became so still that the universe was, what is it called? Got disturbed. A little disturbance.
A fluctuation in the vacuum.
Yeah, a little vibration.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like this pond is absolutely still, and then because it is so incredibly still that it rippled.
It had a thought and we were born.
Yeah, and it had a vibration, and there we are. Pretty much. So it's like in deep meditation, imagine a thought arises.
Mm-hmm.
That the meditation becomes so incredibly still and I cannot say boring, but the thought arises.
Let the play begin.
It's almost like you're so deeply engrossed in meditation that you forget your own nature. You know, it's as if that, you know, you forget your own nature, suddenly there is disturbance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Right?
Yeah.
And there it begins. And
yeah.
So now
you're totally absorbed in the book, and then I think thought arises.
Yeah. So who am I is, what is this whole drama all about? The energy is trying to find out itself. Your chi, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people like to think that their personality will live on after their body has ended.
Yeah.
And it looks to me like if you just start taking what we think we are and start saying, you know, the classic, not this, not this.
Not this, not that.
And so finally you just wind up with something that's eternal and infinite, but it's not your personality.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
It's not
perfect.
Your body.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to describe to
and
folks.
So all of this is that existential wave,
mm-hmm,
that goes away, decreases.
Yeah.
And the thing that was inside the wave is what goes on.
Right.
the thing that didn't know itself, that it thought it was the wave,
mm-hmm.
but now as the wave decays, it's still there.
Still wonderful. It's wonderful. That's why we talked about this thing that there is no reincarnation, but there is rebirth. It's just the movement of waves from one lifespan to another.
That's so, no so hard to describe to people. And I was like, what sort of a metaphor are you going to use to describe that? You know, it's just,
there's no fixed entity that is transmigrating from one lifespan to another. Let's do a 1 minute loving kindness meditation. May all beings be free from pain and suffering. May all beings be happy and healthy. May all beings live in safety and joy. May all beings live a prosperous and auspicious life. May all beings live in peace. Thank you.